was your first show garden? How did the opportunity come about, first of all?
So I was studying at KLC School of Design last year throughout the pandemic, actually. And it was one of our projects that we were given at college. And what they do is they, you know, you get a variety of different projects coming up. And this particular one was to design a conceptual show garden for the RHS Hampton Court Palace Garden Festival. And then the RHS show manager and her colleague were going to come and see us present our ideas. So myself and my cohort, you know, presented our ideas, and I got a really good mark back from my tutors. So me being me, I said, oh, so does this mean this idea's got legs? And they said, absolutely. And I said, well, shall I contact the RHS and see if... you know, they liked the idea, and they were like, absolutely. So I rang them up and had a chat and said, shall I apply? And they said, absolutely. So it kind of just went from there. It was a little bit of a why don't I try, and let's see where it goes. And yeah, I got asked back for a sort of selection interview where they really sort of looked at my big college idea, which was about 2,000 square meters worth of design, which I was told, you know, go big at college, you know, don't think of budgets. But actually I needed to make the garden much smaller, and there were certain elements that they wanted me to change. So I basically redesigned the whole thing, but with the main concept at its heart, I retained that. And then, yeah, just kind of went on from there and redesigned it, and they accepted it.
So you designed for 2,000 square feet. How much did you get in the end?
Oh, I got like 18 by 25 metres. It was a fraction.
Yeah, fraction. That's less than a fraction. It's
I don't know, a tenth or something. Yeah. But so kind of, you know, at college you're told to don't think of budgets and just think really big. So that was the whole idea, really, to really drive home the whole idea. But actually, I think what the limitations the judges gave me on space, it made me really think about actually what are the really important things here, not to get distracted too much with the idea. So yeah, so it was a conceptual garden. It wasn't the sort of garden that you go and sit in, and, you know, not for family and friends and barbecues, but it shows you, I hope, how powerful a good garden design can be. And my whole feeling, I obviously am very passionate about sustainability and the environment, and for me, it's always about how to make people connect with nature. And hopefully the people that visited the show garden felt a very strong, well, I know actually from talking to a lot of them, they felt a very strong emotional response to it. And I think that's what people can achieve in their own back gardens, whether it's just with, you know, the layout of where they sit and the dining and the plants and things like that. So,
because let's talk about the garden, because it is an extinction garden. And I think probably the thing that people were least expecting to see was you did have an aeroplane in your garden. Air travel is one of the biggest causes of carbon emissions, which is something we're all trying to cut down on. But that, seeing that there, and also seeing people wandering amongst it, was probably the thing that was shocking, and is probably the thing that will encourage people to think about their own gardens and about the way they're treating the earth.
Interestingly enough, the idea of including an aircraft fuselage with Homo sapiens written on the side wasn't really having a pop at air travel as being a major contributor, because actually I think only about 2% of our carbon emissions come from air travel. It wasn't really saying that at all. It was actually a way of demonstrating our dominance as a species on the planet, on the natural world. So I also included a field of wheat, like it would look like a commercial crop field. So I'd planted everything quite regimentally, geometrically into that field to make it look like it was a manufactured wheat field. And that was really to show our dominance of nature and how, you know, we came from hunter-gatherers, and we actually then sort of we decided to settle, and we had this amazing agricultural revolution, which we actually all deem an amazing success. But actually what it's done is it's kind of made us very successful as a species. We've overpopulated the world, and now actually we're almost slaves to modern day agricultural practices, which are lacking in diversity and all of that. So the wheat was really an idea of showing how vulnerable we are in some respects. Is something that is a success has actually made ourselves vulnerable, because like 95% of the global production of wheat is actually one single species, which just seems ridiculous, and leaves us ridiculously vulnerable should there be any sort of pests and diseases that harm that crop. So the idea from both elements of both the aircraft and the wheat field was sort of showing our successes, things that are obvious in the way we have dominated the world as a species. And actually to show an aircraft crash scene, I chose it because I thought that it would be shocking enough for everyone to make them realize how shocking it would be if, you know, climate change causes this irreversible effect and we ended up wiping our own species off the planet as well as many others at the same time. So it was something that I thought everybody finds shocking, and it would resonate with the general public, and I think it did actually, because I got a lot of feedback, you know.
It really did. It was a showstopper, and I saw the pictures. I wasn't able to go this year, but I saw the pictures, and I think one of the pictures that grabbed me was a load of children sitting beside it, and you're really thinking, you know, juxtaposing that what would be a terrible disaster with young children who are the future of the planet.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, I was the whole idea of a show garden was totally new to me, and the RHS said, right, so what do you want to do for your press call? And I thought, well, what's a press call? And they basically said, you know, do something unique in your garden that's going to make the press come and take photos of it. And so I thought long and hard, and I thought, actually, what's more powerful than having children emerge from this crash scene, because it shows that it's, you know, the whole idea of the garden isn't all doom and gloom. I want people to think that there's hope and there's motivation and that we can survive, and these are the children and this is who we're doing it for, and we have to make change. So the idea of having the children come out and for the photos to be taken was so that it would really resonate on a deep visceral level with the general public.
It is a garden. Hampton Court Flower Show, the Garden Festival, is about gardens and flowers. So how did you decide which flowers and plants you were going to use in your garden?
Yeah, so I suppose that the wheat field was showing our dominance. And then what I wanted to do was I wanted to shock people deeply, but I also wanted to humble them, to make them realise that we're not the only species on Earth. And whilst we might think that we're dominant, we're certainly not superior, and we're certainly not immune to our own extinction. So the idea was to kind of humble the public. So when you kind of came up to the aircraft door and looked through, you would see, so this is what everyone saw, was like ancient planting. So there were tree ferns sort of layered from the top down, and there were all sorts of shuttlecock ferns and Bleckham spicants and all these ancient species of ferns and trees that have been around for millions, hundreds of millions of years. And so the idea was that we see, oh, we're the newcomers in a way. We might be here and gone before these guys have even had half their lives, you know, because these were the species that were on the planet long before we evolved, and they'll be here most likely, you know, because they've survived all the past mass extinction events, you know, to the dinosaurs and the Ice Age, to name but a few. So the idea is, you know, showing people, well, we might be gone, but these guys will live on, and we can gain some inspiration and hope from them. So the idea was, it was like a green jewel of, you know, leafy loveliness that people looked through. And I got a lot of people say, wow, the contrast between, you know, the golden wheat field and seeing that verdant primordial planting really captivated them.
And how did you feel when you unveiled it to the public and you saw people's reactions? How did it make you feel?
Yeah, I was overwhelmed, actually. I thought that there would be... I think I was so, actually, I think running up to it about a month before, you know, I had this sort of blasé attitude where I wanted to ruffle feathers, and I just thought we've seen, particularly in this category within the garden festival, you know, there've been a lot of pretty gardens, and I just think the whole point of this category with of global impact is all about driving a message home. So I really wanted to shake things up, and I really wanted to make a big impact and a big statement, but actually in the build I was so involved in it I didn't really think about the reality of actually how people were going to react to it. I mean, on the building site there were obviously contractors coming in and out all the time, and what I suddenly started realizing was every time someone new walked past they were taking a photo of it as it was as it was being built, because I think they just thought it was such an unusual site. And so yeah, it was quite overwhelming how much attention it drew, and I'm just really thankful that was of such a positive response, and the fact that the public were so open-minded to kind of embrace the whole concept around it and the message and everything. It was a really wonderful opportunity, really, to kind of to drive that message home.
And you've got your garden design company. So, I mean, it must be hard to top the Hampton Court Flower Show, but what's next? And are you, when you go to a new client, do you talk to them about sustainability and how they can make their garden sustainable?
Well, I mean, wherever I can. So now I've had more of a exposure on how things can operate. And actually, through the RHS, I've been introduced even to a really good waste management company that actually recycle, you know, so they bring a skip, but they literally pick through it. So it's really opened my eyes to, you know, using some contractors that can... that are really environmentally friendly in that respect. But yeah, wherever I can. So I did a garden in Wimbledon back in April, and we wanted gravel, for example. And the whole idea of using gravel is, you know, it's kind of natural and you don't have to, there's not too much processing and things like that. And I was talking to the landscaper and he wanted to put in a plastic mesh to keep the gravel together. And I just said, no, we're not doing that. We really don't need to do that. And it wouldn't have been recycled plastic. And, you know, so I just think wherever we can, we need to sort of make changes. So omit things like that that are you know, unnecessary. And so going forward, that's sort of going to be my mantra, really. I want to... wherever I can, make gardens beautiful for people and full of wildlife and pollinators. And that's, I think, my duty as a garden designer to do that, as well as, you know, meeting their brief and their functional requirements, really.
Have you seen a change over the last, couple of years, especially with the pandemic, in the way that people are making use of their gardens or what they want to do with their gardens?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, this industry is just sort of taking off. I've kind of found myself in a very busy sector. It's really clear that it, you know, the COVID has sort of forced people to out into nature when they kind of really realise that they actually need it. I think it's deep within our, you know, I think it comes back almost to sort of the whole message of my garden is it's deep within our psyche. And it's only in more recent years that we found ourselves so detached from nature and built ourselves around, you know, concrete surroundings, you know, to our lives. And actually, it's funny, but in a pandemic, we all sought out nature as a way of coping. And so, I mean, there's something called biophilia, which is essentially how we are drawn to greenery and, you know, sort of plants and things like that. It's just deep within our nature. So, yeah, I think it just showed our biophilia, really, that we need nature. It makes us feel better on so many levels. It's therapeutic, and it also... I think it's highlighted to a lot of people how important it is. So actually, sustainability and the environmental, you know, messages like mine come at a time when people are receptive to that, and I think it's going to go hand in hand. So I just don't see why, you know, the government can't make big changes now when we're at this time of change, when everyone realizes how important it is. So yeah, hopefully
there'll be some movement. What do you say to people who think, I've got a really small garden, it's all concrete, there's nothing I can do with it, I'm, you know, I really would love to create a garden, but I just don't see how I can do it?
There's so much opportunity. I mean, concrete can always be lifted. I think it's just a question of price and cost. But I mean, at the very least, you can put pots and plants in there and all sorts. And I would go with plants that aren't just annuals, that don't just have colour in the summer and then die, but maybe biperennial plants that come up then next year that you can leave standing in the winter so that, you know, insects may hibernate in them if they're grasses or other sorts of tall standing perennials. So, you know, you can do your bit, definitely. You don't have to have a big plot, but I suppose the greener all our back gardens are, the more beneficial it is, really. If you take all the gardens collectively, we can all make a big difference.